oh, you know, it's by faith only. You know, the only place it says faith only is in James. Oh, I know back in Mark chapter 5 here it says, be not afraid, but only believe. You know, he's not saying there, belief only is all that is necessary. In that case, then the woman who believed she should be healed should have said, well, I'll just believe in him and I'll be healed. But she believed and she touched him because that's what she believed. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham got up and left the country that he was living in. He changed his location. Faith causes us to move and do things. Even if it's not a physical thing, faith in and of itself is a work. You know, you could believe something, but you got to keep believing. That in and of itself is work. It's a form of works. I mean, a very small, I mean, obviously it's not doing much, but it's something that has to be done. We go from faith to faith. From a little faith to a little greater faith. Adding to our faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness. All the things that accompany faith. Faith has things that accompany it. Salvation has things that accompany salvation. Salvation is not just this end into itself. Like, we're going to get saved. Let's get saved right now. Okay, you pray with me. Oh, Jesus, save me right now. I believe in you. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess you as my Lord. Now you're saved. Forever and afterwards, you're saved. You don't need to do anything more. Just absolutely leave your life the way it is. Oh, well, I wouldn't tell people to do that. But they do generally. Preach a doctrine that encourages that kind of a behavior. They don't say that. No one would say that because no one wants to say, go and sin. Go and sin. But they'll say, you're going to sin. Undermining the faith, undermining their belief, undermining the truth, undermining their repentance. Saying, well, don't get your hopes up too much. Expect to sin. Oh, we don't want to. Of course not. Of course not. But of course you're going to. Undermining. I would never preach to a man that he's going to sin. It's like preaching to someone you're going to hell. I wouldn't preach that to somebody. I wouldn't say, oh, you're going to hell. What do I know? I don't know if somebody's going to hell. I could say, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, or all they that do such works are going to perish unless you repent and believe in Jesus. But it's not, repentance isn't merely to believe in him. It is also to repent from, as Paul said, from dead works, from the works that bring about death, from works that do not bring salvation. And I tell you what, those prayers that people make and tell people, that's it, that's all you got to do, that's a dead work. I want a living work, a work that is in me, alive, growing, and continuing throughout my life till it is finished. But not just something that says, oh, I'm a work in progress, but I keep, you know, I'm at stage one for 20 years. That's not right. Men should repent. Repent of your ways. I want to repent of the way I was yesterday and repent of the way I am today. I'm going to think again. How could I be until I grow up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? I need to think again. I need to repent. It's not a question of people say, well, you just need to repent once. It's not a question of repenting of my sins. It's a repenting of my former ways. And as long as they are still my former ways, in any regard, as long as my ways are not the ways of Christ, I need to think again. What are you saying? I don't need to think again? That, oh, once you believe, you never need to repent again if you commit a sin. Well, it's not a question of if I commit a sin. I need to always be turning away and thinking differently and in opposition to the ways I've been. Repentance is not like, I don't need to repent again. I need to keep it up. You know what I mean? I need to keep up that new way of thinking. And I do that by the new nature which God gives us. And if we haven't received the new nature, we need to seek the new nature. If we haven't received these things, it's because we haven't asked for these things. If we haven't asked for these things, it's because we haven't been taught. Everyone ought to repent. Men, you need to repent. Women, you need to repent. Mankind needs to repent. Everywhere. I don't care what stage you walk, I need to think again. Until I am grown up into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In my lifetime, I'm going to see the kingdom. Because as soon as my life is over, Afterwards, the judgment. The resurrection of the dead. It's the next thing. Because in death, there's no perception of anything or time. It'll just be dead, then raised. The kingdom of God is coming. Whether it come to the earth or only to our perceptions, it's not far off. You notice the way he sends his disciples out. He says, don't take the script, the bread. Don't take money in your purse. That's your belt. They would keep money in their belt. You know, put on sandals. Don't bring two coats. Don't seem like you're ready for a long trip, because it's not going to be a long thing. You just go right now. Go. Don't go get other stuff. Don't go get this, that. You know, there's this immediacy, this impending, we got to go right now. Don't take extras. Just go as you are. It makes me think of his prophecy of the end. He says, let not him that is on the housetop go back into the house. You know, let him that is in the field not turn back again to turn up to take up his garment. It's that idea of right now is the time to go. Don't carpet bag it over there. Just go in your sandals. Don't take an extra coat. Don't bring bread and money. Don't prepare for it like it's a journey. Just go preaching God's word. As if nothing else mattered. And scrip was a bag for collecting money. They're not going out to collect money. They're going out to preach the kingdom of God. And then when you get to a house, when you go into a house and they receive you, stay there. Because they are worthy. And but if they won't receive you or hear you, when you leave, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. You know, I always love it when people online, they say, I'm shaking the dust off my feet at you, Paul. You're hopeless. I'm shaking the dust of my feet off at you. Woof, woof, puff, puff. And I just think, oh boy. You know, people love to do this. It's a lot, you know, the thing is, it's like, oh, so you're consigning me to the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because you say, you are among the apostles, aren't you? You're one of Jesus' 12. Because that's who he told to do this. I mean, I would not be so presumptive, honestly. To me, it seems a little bit careful when you do such things. Because the judgment you judge with, you're going to be judged. What if it's me you're supposed to hear, and you shake your feet off at me? What's that say for you? I'll tell you what it says. It will be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you, not me. And me? Well, I'm not judging you that way, am I? I mean, I do think there's a point in which, you know, a heretic after the third or fourth admonition, or second or third, I don't know, after a couple of admonitions, reject. I think it's actually first or second. You admonish a heretic, and if they don't hear you, you reject them.